Wow, to worship our great God outdoors, to worship our great God online. We certainly are excited to be here together this morning. Beautiful day. We could not have picked a better day. First of all, because the Lord has made it, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And yet, I'm telling you, it's great to be worshiping online. There's another dynamic when we're gathering together. We see each other's faces, and I just want to say how awesome it is. You know, we're very, very excited. This is our first outdoor service in a year. And we've not had any indoor service yet. We're very, very excited about it. And so I trust that, you know, we're getting to that point. We're getting more and more comfortable, of course, with our vaccinations. I am excited. I got my second, fired up, and we're ready to go. And so if you've had your vaccination and you're getting to that point in your life where you're feeling more and more comfortable, we certainly will want to encourage you, because 2 weeks from today, we'll be having another outdoor service. Stay tuned, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Yes. Amen. Today, I want to talk about something I think is always on topic. Yet, at this time in our lives, it's even more so a topic that we need to be encouraged in our souls about. And that's the topic of hope. Hope is a magnificent thing. And I want to dig a little deeper today and talk a little bit about that. You know, there is no question that there are a lot of challenges that are going on in our world at this point in time. Not the least of which, of course, is the COVID-19. And those are some of the things that we see the effects of. There are some things where, as in the role that I have, that untold hurt and pain has happened in people's life because of what the COVID has not afforded us to do, which is to fellowship and to be with each other. No question about it. Divorce and separation is increasing. Domestic abuse is going up. Opioids abuse has gone up 80% over the COVID times. The mental health challenges, the emotional challenges that has gone on over the last little while is immense. There are a lot of people that are not feeling as hopeful as they used to. Some people are at the edge of their lives. It is my firm conviction that through the message of Jesus Christ and the message that we're going to talk about today, that there is no greater message that we can give at this point in time than the message of hope. Now, not the message of wish, but the message of hope that is well founded for those who have embraced Jesus as their Lord. In Romans chapter 5, we read about a passage where Paul describes this idea of hope and peace. And this is what it says in verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just stop there for a second. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes and he says, because of the fact for those people who are still dead in their transgressions, They have become objects of God's wrath. Now, but because of Christ and because of our faith in Christ, we now are not objects of God's wrath, but rather we are at peace with God. Then it says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Now, why are we going to be boasting in this hope? What is it about this hope that affords us to actually boast? Well, let's examine that in a second. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. So wait a minute. Paul's writing, he says, we boast in hope. Well, that makes sense, right? But to glory in our sufferings, that's another level right there. Why? How? How does this even make sense? One of the privileges we have today is that we know how the movie ends in regard to the Christ. We know we're not his contemporary in the sense that we walked with him. And for those people who were walking with Christ, and of course he gave some astounding messages, but he also gave some messages that brought about some consternation. And yet he talks about the fact that suffering is glorious. Why? Because there's this idea of beginning with the end in mind. In other words, what is going to happen? We're able to persevere. We're able to suffer, to have patience when we're going through challenges. And so it says this. We not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so Paul builds up the idea of how outstanding that we boast in hope. Well, hope just doesn't appear because we want it to. Hope doesn't appear because we wish for it to. There is a process. There is a process to develop deep, abiding hope in God that irrespective of what's going on in our lives, that hope still reigns supreme in our lives. And we'll look in a few seconds how that is even possible. That it's not just a punchline. It's not just a card that we write and we put on the wall, but there's a deep abiding hope and there's a process. And the process starts with suffering. I'm telling you, most of my lessons in life wasn't learned from the victories. Most of the lessons in my life was based on the challenges that arose and brought me to a place that says, man, now I am going to get serious about a particular thing. If you're anything like me, there were quite a few false starts that I had. There are a few times that my back was to the wall and I said to God, God, if you were to get me out of this one, then you know I'm for you. 4 days later, it's not quite for him as possible. The issue that I want to talk about here is that suffering ultimately leads to hope. How does that happen? Where does this come from? The idea that Paul writes about here, he says that suffering produces perseverance. What's perseverance? This idea of not giving up. This idea of not being someone who literally blows with the wind. There's a brand of Christianity today that is being sold, and a lot of people are buying it. It's about living a crossless Christianity. Or some have that cross, but it's really nicely padded. And Paul writes and he says, if we're going to have hope that is true hope, there is no hope without the process that begins with suffering. Now, you don't have to go look for suffering, okay? It will find you. It will find you in a number of ways, sometimes health-wise, sometimes financially, sometimes in relationships. You know, I was talking to a young man recently, and he faced some challenges in his life. And I said to him, I said, I want to paint a picture for you. I want to paint a picture that what has happened to you can actually be a boomerang to you heading towards God. That if you were living your life and you were almost driving off the cliff, that right there is an elastic band that as you were going off the cliff, you hit that band and it boomerangs you and it ricochets you and it's a catapult to you actually turning your life around. As a matter of fact, this could be one of the greatest blessings in your life if you would let it. There's a lot of opportunities in our life where there are challenges that come about. And I put before you that Paul writes and he says, if we persevere when we're suffering, what it produces in us is character. What's character? That's one of those things that it's almost self-explanatory. It's almost axiomatic, right? You know when you see character, and then you don't know when you see character. But I want to paint a quick picture. It's someone who doesn't give up at the first sign of trouble. And you say, that person has character. That their Christianity is not based on what is convenient. And I tell you, at this time, it's a very challenging time. Because we obviously have to be sensitive to people's ability to respond to COVID, and let's not be in judgment simply when we don't know what's going on. On the other hand, there is a lot of times that people use COVID for not doing what they ought to do in terms of showing themselves to be character and to be persevering. I'm telling you, I have never heard of COVID being the reason why I'm online for longer than I'm on the phone for longer than I should be, why they're not delivering my stuff that I asked for, why it's delayed by a month. I mean, it's like, oh, it's COVID. And some of those are legitimate, and some of those are people who use it as an excuse. And the difference of the people who persevere and push through, you call those people of character. People who are not looking ways to game the system, how they can get more money from the government, how they can sell a product and abuse people's ignorance. Jim Baker, a purported televangelist, was just fined $200,000 again because he was selling snake oil, basically, telling people that this was going to prevent them from getting COVID. If you don't know who Jim Baker is, a notorious, infamous guy who purported to be someone who was a messenger of God. the ridiculous hypocrisy of that was renowned. I thought about it. I mean, if you're actually going to buy into what Jim Baker is doing, maybe you should be charged and not him. Well, that's another discussion for another time. But the whole idea is this. There are people who are looking to game the system. And you look at those people and you say, wait a minute. That's not a person of character. Suffering, done right, should be embraced, in a manner of speaking. Not in a way that is sadistic, but in a way that is character forming. And when I was talking to this young man, I said, this is going to be a moment of truth for you. What are you going to let happen to your life? I'm going to help you. I'm going to sit with you. We're going to look at this together. We're going to journey together. If you need for me to hold your hand, but not too tightly, but if you need for me to hold your hand, I will do that. But the question is in your court. What are you going to do with this time of challenge in your life? And that's the question that is going to be answered when this pandemic is over. I've seen marketing that talks about how Christianity is going to change. Maybe your brand of Christianity is going to change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The message of the fact that we need him, and we need him badly, is just the same. Nonetheless, let's continue. It says this. Suffering produces perseverance, that idea, right, that we're not going to give up, that produces character, and character brings about hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Now, let's look at what verse 6 says and how that hope is ultimately developed. It says this, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul writes and he says, the idea and the reason why we can have hope, it was ultimately personified in Christ Jesus in what he experienced and ultimately what it afforded us. Now, I love the way that Christ is described here as opposed to us. We were powerless. You know, I think we should not suffer from low self-esteem. I think we need to understand exactly who we are. But I'm afraid that there's pop psychology that has so infiltrated the Word of God that today you go to a church service and it's more about pop psychology and how to feel better than it is about the message of Jesus Christ. And here is how the scripture describes you and I without the death of Christ being made effect in our lives. We're powerless. That's not nice, but it's true. That we're ungodly. That's the way we're described pre-Christ. It continues to say this. Sinners. The largest church in America today, the preacher does not use the word sin from the pulpit because he says that it's too negative. And maybe you buy into that philosophy. I don't know. Paul writes and he says, while we were sinners. Sinners, sin. That's by definition. That's what it is. And so we got to understand that's the description that Paul writes in describing us. And then he says, since we have been justified by Christ, while we were God's enemies. Now, wait a minute. Here are some descriptions of us before Christ has been made effect in our lives. That we are ungodly, that we're sinners, that we're his enemies. These are not very flattering. But here's the good news. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says, in spite of the fact that we are ungodly, in spite of the fact that we are powerless, in spite of the fact that we are sinners, in spite of the fact that we are his enemies, that is as opposite to God as you can possibly imagine. Now, because of the fact that Christ now has died for us while we were still sinners. Now, do you get that? You see who made the first move? You see the qualifications for us to come into Christ? That's what I love about our God. He loves and he sees us and he reaches out to us. That is such an unbelievable thought. And hope is then given to us because when we were sinners, when we were powerless, when we were enemies, when we were ungodly, he died for us, making the first move. Because of that, we can now boast in the hope that irrespective of the fact that that's our state, God still has brought us near to him. And so, whatever experiences we're going through, it is not without hope. Whatever is going on. I had a chance to visit my mom and dad this week. My dad's now going to be 88 years old, and my mom's going to be 80. And it is remarkable, literally, from visit to visit, which at times are weeks in between, to see the deterioration of the mind. And it's sobering. And mom and dad would say to me, in their affectionate, endearing way, they call me Tone. Tone, what do you think about this? Tone, what is happening here? Amelia and I will go and we sit. We try to share with them that all is not lost. That there is a God that loves us immensely. That you don't have to merely look forward to death. But rather there can be a life that is abundantly hopeful. In Romans chapter 15, we see again this idea, the power of hope. Romans chapter 15 in verse 13. This is what it says. May the God of hope. I love that description of God. The God of hope. That there is something that awaits us that we can look forward to. Because of Christ, I want to approach God and I want to hear those words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. May the God of hope, verse 13, chapter 15, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, can you imagine that? Have you ever filled a cup and you forgot it's in the sink and then it's just flowing over? I mean, it just exudes abundance. It exudes plentifulness, so to speak. You know, sometimes people have asked me, what's the happiest day that you've had on this earth? I find that incredibly difficult to answer. I'll tell you why. The day I got baptized, I was overflowing with joy. The day I got married was absolutely overflowing. You see my face, there's not one picture that is not a wide smile on my face. The day my children were born, the day they got married. How do I say, well, this one is happier than this one, when the cup is flowing from all of them? It's overflowing. One of them is not 3/4, and the other one is 7/8, and the other one is 9/10, and the other one is 99/100. They're all overflowing. It's hard to describe. I've never witnessed the Leafs won the Stanley Cup, so I don't know what that's like yet. I have nothing to compare that to, and my heart burns even as I speak about that. Right now I need therapy for that, but that's a different story for another time. But there's no way to describe it. That's what hope is like. It overflows because of the power of the Holy Spirit given to us through the death of Christ when we were ungodly, sinners, God's enemies, and powerless. So I ask you, a COVID is no match for the hope of God. Financial difficulties, and I'm not minimizing these things, please understand that. But it's no match for the hope of God given to us through Christ when we were powerless as enemies, ungodly, and sinners. That's how hope overflows from our lives. And that's why every Sunday morning we gather together to sing about that story, about that message, about what that God has done for us. And we sing songs about it, and we talk about how Jesus will fix it. And we hear about praises all around the world. And we celebrate, and we rejoice. One of the things that we love to do here is that we worship God not only with our hearts, but with our minds. And so when we sing, we understand exactly what we're trying to do. And so what we choose to do here in the Ottawa Church is on Sundays we gather together, and yes, we celebrate and we sing and we hug. It was so great. Stephanie this morning gave her a long hug because I hadn't seen her for a while, you know. It's just great to see someone and just say, man, it's so good to see you. But ultimately, none of this would be possible if the Christ didn't die for us when we were ungodly, when we were sinners, when we were his enemies, and when we were powerless. And so we come together on Sunday mornings and we say, irrespective of what happens in all our lives, we say, irrespective of how educated we are, irrespective of how much money you have, irrespective of what kind of clothes you wear, irrespective of anything else, we come to the cross of Jesus Christ and we say this: God, we're thankful for your son's death. And because of this death, our hope will overflow. Not just barely hanging on, so to speak, when we truly grasp it. And the mystery of having these two thoughts and feelings at the same time only because of Christ. As I walk out of my parents' house, I don't know if your parents do this, but they stand at the door and they wave. And almost every time, tears from my mom's eyes falls as I'm the youngest of seven children. And obviously the most liked, right? I mean, come on. But I'm the youngest of seven children, and she's wondering, am I going to see my son again? And yet the reality of her dementia, that I can still be someone that overflows with hope, not because I went to some class on the power of positive thinking, not because my mind has been cleansed with some form of meditation that is not based on God, but is solely based on that passage that we read. That's where hope comes from. And Christ was the model in that he suffered, he didn't give up. It produced the character in him that ultimately leads to hope for all of us. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to let you know that this God that we have now been made at peace with because of Christ, that gives us a hope by that is overflowing by the power of the Holy Spirit. How great is this God? And so in order for us to really fully understand and acknowledge and even appreciate and get the benefits of that, so to speak, there's a humility that we need to embrace the cross of Christ with. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, the foot of the cross, it's level ground with everyone. There's nobody that gets the upper edge. Nobody. We come to the cross and we say, we humble ourselves and we say to you, I'm an ungodly sinner that's an enemy that once lived as an enemy of the cross but and was powerless to do anything about it. But thanks be to God. And so right now we're going to be taking communion. I think everybody has their thing, do they? Awesome, fantastic. And of course we're being COVID friendly here, so everybody has their own. If you don't, Melanie, put your hand up if you don't have a communion thing, and Melanie will be able to get you one. And if she charges you money for it, do not give her any money for that, oh guys, okay? Sometimes she does that, and it's a little embarrassing, honestly, but if you can go ahead and do that. And so we're going to give thanks for what the Christ has done and what he has done for us and what he has provided for us through that death. And then we will be reflective of this hope that he's provided for us that began with suffering. And during this song, we're going to sing a song that actually is a testimony, so to speak, of our own hearts, prayerfully. And that you will sing this song with meaning. You will sing this song with emotion. And the song is Humble Yourself. Humble Yourself. As we thank God for the hope that he provides. Let's pray, and then we'll sing the song, Humble Yourself. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we're so grateful to be together this morning. Thankful for the brothers and sisters who are online who have some challenges in their health and some who are not yet fully comfortable about coming together. Father, I pray that they feel the connection and the hope with the brothers and sisters that are here this morning. And Father, I pray that ultimately, no distance will ever take away from the fact what your Son has done for us. No distance of time, no distance of place, no distance even in heaven right now can take away the fact that we have overflowing joy empowered by the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the death of Christ. because it meant life for us. Thank you that you pointed out that we were powerless, sinners, enemies, and ungodly. And yet, in spite of that, that was our resume, you still chose to die for us. Thank you. Thank you that our names are written in the book of life. As we reflect on your Son's death, burial, and resurrection, help us to truly embrace what your Son has done for us. Amen.